I was blessed this morning in 2 Timothy here, if I can just turn there briefly, just with some of the thoughts that Brother Jim brought out in our discipleship class. He brought out that it says, Paul the Apostle, let me see, 2 Timothy, yes. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Jesus Christ, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Brother Jim brought out this morning that it's only in the epistles that word mercy is, only to Timothy, I should say. All the rest of the epistles are only grace and peace. And this is grace, mercy, and peace. And I was blessed with that thought, and he particularly brought out the thought that as Paul addressing Timothy as an elder, he knew that maybe there was some special mercies that elders need at times. And I want to say that about myself this morning, just briefly here. I feel like on down in verse 7, it says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I feel like especially there's an area of my life that I'd just like to share with you all that I sometimes face here in the pulpit. And that is this very area of fear. And I just need your prayers in that, especially kind of in a momentarily way. Sometimes I face that, and it has to do with maybe some of the depression I went through in the past. I sometimes face those thoughts just coming, and then that fear just kind of wants to, come in there. And it's just in a momentary way, but it is a need in my life, and I would desire prayer from you as a congregation in that area, and healing for my life in that area of the thoughts that I still sometimes face. And it's not that I'm not claiming victory over them, but I just felt led of the Lord to confess that to you all, and I confided a little bit in Brother Dwight yesterday. Brother Dwight, and I discovered this morning what I face goes right along with our lesson, kind of what Paul was addressing Timothy. And so I just desire healing in that area, and I asked Brother Dwight if he would come up and pray for me, and just you as a congregation can pray. And Brother Dwight, if you can just pray for the service, the message, and right away, and then I'll get into the message. So can we all stand for prayer at this time?
Father, you are here.
Thank you, Lord.
Make yourself known here.
Thank you.
This hour, for this occasion, for every person.
Thank you.
The psalmist David, who lived that old covenant, saw you as a merciful God. He saw you as a kind God. But not just a merciful God, a God of tender mercies. A God of loving kindnesses. Father, may that kind of revelation come here this morning. Reveal yourself today to this congregation. Reveal yourself to Brother Mel. Father, he is a weak man. We are weak. We look at the Creator God who spoke and the worlds were made, who knows everything, who never has any problems. Father, we are weak, but you love to fill our weakness with yourself.
Amen.
Father, he has emptied his heart this morning. He's taken himself out, and now we pray that you would put yourself in.
Amen.
And that this day, he would see not just his weakness, he would see your strength.
Amen.
And Lord, you would be a guard over him stands here.
Amen.
Proclaiming the heart and mind of God to this congregation. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother. Thank you, Brother. You can be seated. Appreciate that. Appreciate your love as a congregation. I especially face it in public speaking, so that's the area I could use your continued prayer. Okay, turn your Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 6. As some of you remember, I preached a message out of Ephesians chapter 6 the last time I stood up here in the pulpit. But this morning I'd like to continue, not with the last message that I preached on children honoring your parents, but I'd like to preach a message this morning on the role of fathers in their homes, the role of a father in the home. And so I'd like to read from chapter 6, verse 4. It says here, And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So here's a clear directive, a clear command that fathers are to bring up their children. They're to bring them up. And I looked up that word bring, and it means to rear up. To rear up to maturity, to cherish or train. So the word bring in itself has some deep meaning of bringing up, rearing up, training, discipling, and that simple word bring there. But then the word nurture is tutorage, education or training by means of instruction. It can be by means of chastening. Yes, that's the word, that's the meaning that I pulled out of the Strong's there with the word nature, nurture. The word admonition is more calling attention to rebuke or warning, more of an admonition, the admonishment side of fatherhood, you know, and warning, maybe restraining children and the young people in your home. So I'd like to just read one scripture here yet from Peter, and then I'd like to turn our Bibles to Exodus chapter 39. But one scripture here in 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 9. It says here, but ye are a chosen generation. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And so here's a clear directive that we as God's people are to show forth His praises. We're to show forth His praises. He who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, we're to show forth His praises. And in one of these aspects that is brought out here of our calling or our position or our place in God's kingdom, it says you're a chosen generation. Then it says you're a royal priesthood. So we're a royal priesthood. That's one aspect of who we are in Christ, who we are in the kingdom of God. We're a royal priesthood. And I love that name, royal, that word royal. You're a royal priesthood. We're a priesthood of royalty, as we think of royal people, I mean, I think of people of influence. I think of people of tremendous influence when I think of a king and royalty. I mean, I think of when we lived in Gushiagu years ago as missionaries, there was a chief in town, and he was kind of the chief over, well, he was definitely the chief of his own village, Gushiagu, but he was a district chief as well, and he had great influence. Great influence. He was a man of influence in that area, and there was great respect for him. And, you know, just his demeanor called to attention, respect, and honor. But here we are called. It says, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. And that's what I'd like to share about this morning, is your place as fathers. Looking at yourselves as a royal priest in your home. A man of influence. And bringing about in your homes this calling, this great and noble calling that we should show forth as homes. The praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. So turn now to chapter 39 of Exodus. And I'm going to go down through most of this chapter here. I did preach a similar message years ago on this chapter, and maybe some of you remember. Just forgive me if some of this sounds redundant to you, but I don't know how many of you remember. It was 5 or 6 years ago, probably. But Exodus chapter 39. I'll start reading verse 1, and I'll go down to verse 5, and then I'll elaborate a bit on the thoughts that I gleaned out of this passage of Scripture. And this was the clothing, this was the cloth or the clothing for the garments for the priests. That was being brought out here. And first, we come from the tabernacle into the priesthood and the garments that were now to be worn by the priests. And it says, of the blue and purple, and verse 1, of the blue and purple and scarlet, they made cloth of service to do service in the holy place, and made the holy garments of Aaron, for Aaron, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he made the ephod of gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twine linen. And they did beat the gold into thin plates, and cut it into wires, to work it in the blue, and in the purple, and in the scarlet, and in the fine twine, in the fine linen, with cunning work. They made shoulder pieces for it, to couple it together by the two edges, was it coupled together. And the curious girdle of his ephod that was upon it was of the same, according to the work thereof, of gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twine linen, as the Lord commanded Moses. So it says, out of the blue, purple, and scarlet, they made cloths of service to do service in the holy place, and made the holy garments for Aaron. And also out of that they made an ephod of gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twine linen, and they beat gold into thin plates. And so this was a fine piece of garment. I mean, this was an elegant piece in a sense. It was an elegant garment that was being worn by the priests. And so they had this fine twined linen interwoven with, it says, with cunning work. I like that, with cunning work. You know, just with a master mind it took to get that thing interwoven into that garment. And at the end of the day, it was a beautiful garment. It was a garment that, you know, I believe the high priest, as I understand, wore for every day for his high priestly duties. And I'll get into the ephod a little later, but I want to bring out here in these first few verses the priesthood, I believe, was to be a beautiful thing. You know, as you as fathers consider your calling in the home, you know, maybe you feel sometimes like I'm under the burden of fatherhood, I'm under the responsibility, and I'm under the load of it and the weight of it, and 12 children and 14 children. I think somebody mentioned yesterday in the wedding. Brother Lester's dad, 14 children. You know, I'm sure he's felt the responsibility of all those children in his lifetime. You know, but I believe that, you know, there's one place in Scripture, and I'll turn to it a little bit later because I want to bring out this point again, but there's one place that says some of the reason the garments were colored the way they were, and the fine linen and all that the garment looked like was for the sake of beauty. It says they were for glory and for beauty. So that's what I'd like to bring out upon our hearts this morning. Your role as a father is a glorious role. It's a glorious role. And it's to be delighted in. It's a beautiful role. You know, when I think of the colors, I think of the colors that were there that the garments of the high priest were made with. It says they were gold. You know, when I think of gold, I think of God's heavenly kingdom, His realm of pleasures and His delightful kingdom. I think of gold, pure gold. I mean, that's what I think of. I think of the divine, utterly divine, you know, when I think of gold in the Word of God. And so you know, this morning, as you consider your role as a father, and consider that it's a delightful, it should be a delightful role. A role that is filled with the glory of God. A role that you can see that this is a place that God has given me in His kingdom. This is a desired place. This is a desired place, of great and noble calling. A royal place. And so that's what I think of when I think of the gold as the color that is mentioned here. Then it brings out the blue. And I think of the divine. When I think of the blue, I think of the heavenly realm again. In a sense, the divine, the heavenly, as we carry out our responsibility as fathers, there's a necessity to always be in touch with the heavenly. with the heavenly realm of things. As we come before our God day by day, that we're in touch with the heavenly. As we quiet our hearts before the Lord and touch His heart in regards to our homes and our families, that we are in touch with the heavenly realm. And that's what I think of when I think of the blue and open heaven over my life. If I can have that open heaven in regards to my children, my home, my wife, my family. And then I think of the purple. Well, let's go to the scarlet first. The scarlet, I think of the earthy. You know, the red. In fact, there's one place I think I might have looked this up in the previous time. I'm not sure. But I think of the humanity of the Son of Man, His humanity. You know, it comes down to our dealings with our children and our homes to where we get practical. You know, it's just simply and our children, you know, they walk the dust of the earth just like we do. And we need to have that mentality. They come with their human nature. They come with their earthly nature, if you will. And they come with, their Adamic nature. And they come into this world walking the dust of this earth. And I think of the earth, I think of the scarlet in that way. You know, the earthy. And Jesus Christ, as you know, was called the Son of God. And He was called the Son of Man. And then the purple is just simply a mixture of the two. The purple, I would see, is our mediator between God and man. The man Jesus Christ. You know, purple is made up of the scarlet and the blue, which makes up purple. And so and as I think of our role as fathers, I think of that aspect of us being, in a sense, a mediator. We're called to be a royal priesthood. And so much of our role as fathers is mediating before the Lord, between God and our children. And much of that has to do with prayer, but much of that has to do with also giving of direction and counsel and bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And finally, the fine linen, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of Christ. You know, as fathers, there's a necessity to be full of the Spirit of our God, having the divine nature of Christ, but also the earthly nature of the Son of Man, thus giving us the ability to be priests and mediators in our homes for our children. And through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we are enabled to be wise fathers, interweaving into the fabric of our children a cunning work. Cunning work, a beautiful work into the fabric of the souls and lives of our children. You know, priests and mediators, I think of this aspect of prayer. I think of Job. You know, it says about Job that he sacrificed unto the Lord. I didn't look it up, but I think it says he sacrificed unto the Lord daily. I'm not quite sure. Lest his children fall into sin. Well, maybe I can just look that up quickly in Job here. I know I've read that in, I think it's Job chapter 1. Yes, it says in verse 5, and it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them. And wrote, let's start in verse 4. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. So there was Job, a man of prayer, praying for his children, excuse me, making intercession. Intercessions and prayers offered up before the Lord on behalf of his children, his family, his home. He'd offered up these prayers continuously before the Lord for his home and his family and his children and his sons and daughters. I think of 1 Peter. It brings out in 1 Peter chapter I like this. You know, it again kind of brings out in 1 Peter here the thought of the divine and the thought of the earthy. The thought of the divine nature of God and the human nature of Christ. It says here in 1 Peter chapter it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." So, fathers, this morning, as you consider the role of your home, God has given, He says, great. First of all, and I appreciated Brother Dale last week, you started with the thought of grace and peace be multiplied, and you ended with that. That was just a comfort and a ministry to my own spirit. And here Peter says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power has given unto us all things." Brethren, fathers, He's given unto us all things that pertain unto life. Just simply everyday life. That's the human side of things, as I would see it. More than the human, you know, the daily grind of life, our occupations, our interactions with each other, our working together and washing dishes, mothers and daughters. You know, it's just simply the everyday life things that we need His divine nature, divine power for. But He's promised here. He says, "I have given you, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life, just simply everyday life." But then He also says, "and godliness." So there's life and godliness. He's given unto us all things that pertain unto it all. Our everyday life as fathers, pertaining now to fathers. "According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue." And that's a heart that God desires when for our homes is that our homes would be a place of glory and virtue. And you as fathers being at that place of glory and virtue. And virtue, I believe, is simply character. Men of character, men of virtuous character, and men who are full of the glory of God in their own lives, and thus imparting it into the lives of their children, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be made partakers of the divine nature. So there it is. As we apprehend the promises of God into our everyday lives. And brothers, this morning, maybe some of you look at your homes and you think it's, you know, this is, when I'm all said and done this morning, you might look at it and say, you know, that calling is impossible, or that calling is too high, the standard's too high. But let's just take that simple verse in Ephesians. "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." But it doesn't say stop there. I know all of you believe, I trust all of you, believe that it is wrong for you to express anger in your role as fatherhood. I trust that that is in every one of your hearts. That you know that an expression of anger is wrong, whether you're even disciplining a child. That is an expression that is not to be expressed. But God doesn't want us to stop there. He says bring up, rear up, train up. Bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, if God would have not called us to that calling, He wouldn't have asked it of us. So His grace is sufficient with the calling, brethren. So I just want to bring that out. His grace is sufficient with the calling this morning. As you look at your own home, your own family, your own sons and your own daughters. So like I said, this is to be a royal calling, brethren. This is to be a royal calling, a wonderful calling, a blessed calling, a calling much to be desired. And the Word of God says His commandments are not grievous. So in your role as a father, you can recognize this call is not a grievous call that I can barely manage, that I can barely hold up under. But it is a great and noble calling. And like I said, one of beauty and one of beauty, one of tremendous beauty. I believe that's what I'd again like to bring out. The garments of the high priest were for glory and for beauty. And may it be thus in your home as a priest of your home, that you're carrying out your high priestly calling in glory and beauty. Your children will, that'll be attractive. That'll be something that will be attractive to the next generation, to your own sons and your own daughters. Okay, let's go on. Exodus 39. Going back to Exodus 39. Says here that, verse 6, and they wrought onyx stones enclosed in ouches of gold, graven as signets are graven with the names of the children of Israel. And he put them on the shoulders of the ephod, that they should be stones for a memorial to the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses. So here were onyx stones. Here were stones. And it says they were encased in ouches of gold. And I'll come back to that a little bit, maybe a little bit later here. But stones were on each stone. There were six on each shoulder, six on each stone, and one stone on each shoulder. And here was inscribed the 12 tribes of Israel. Six tribes on one shoulder, six on the other. Brother and sister, what do we think of the shoulders? Somebody just blurted it out. You know, when we think of the shoulders, we think of what? Just in everyday life, as a responsibility. That's exactly what I think. Responsibility, carrying the weight of the burden, you know, at hand. That's what I think of the shoulders. So as I look at the priest and his calling there, I see that it was a calling of responsibility. It was a calling of responsibility. And here was the priest with his responsibility for the 12 tribes of Israel. 12 tribes. He had the responsibility upon his shoulders. And I'd just like to say to us fathers this morning that, you know, I'd like to apply that a bit more to the admonition side of parenting. That we take a good look at our priestly role of admonition to our children. And admonition has within the connotation or the meaning, it says, like I shared before, it says, calling attention to, rebuke or warning. You know, that's not always the most easy side of, even though the commandments of God are not grievous, but He does call us to bear a burden, right? His yoke is easy and His burden is light. He does call us to carry yokes and burdens. But anyway, it's not always the most easiest side of parenting. But God calls us to that. He says, bring up your children in the admonition of the Lord. Admonition. That responsibility of giving direction to my home, to my family, and to my children. That upon your shoulders lies that responsibility. And I know Brother Emmanuel and a few more of it, brethren here, have had messages on being the gatekeepers of the home. You know, do you know this morning where those in your home, where they're at? In realms of reading material and videos and music and where they go in a given day. There are, many different realms we can enter into. Do you have that responsibility? Does that responsibility lay upon your shoulders? That I am responsible for this child in my home. And likewise, I could share with you mothers. You know, there's a responsibility that lies on you as well. But primarily, I'm addressing the fathers this morning, recognizing that you as just afresh and anew, bringing to bear upon our hearts the responsibility we have as gatekeepers of our homes. We have a responsibility with our children that we don't just allow anything into the home and going out of the home for that matter. So let's remember our responsibility, fathers. These were stones of memorial. It says they were stones of memorial. They were to, as the priest either touched or looked in the mirror, I don't know how he looked upon those stones on his shoulder, but they were to be stones of memorial of his responsibility. And that's what I'd like to bring upon our hearts this morning. They're to be stones, the admonishing, as our children, let me say it this way, as the children, as they're inscribed upon those stones on our shoulders. They're to be, the responsibility is to be there. And we should be carrying our children in such a way that there's a memorial there of them. Day by day as we carry out this side of parenting, the admonishment side, that we remember we are responsible. I am responsible as a father. I think of Eli. It says about Eli that Samuel told Eli that he would judge his house for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. Restraint is a part of parenting. Restraining your children. Restraining them from just doing what their own flesh would. And that's part of bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, the restraint part is a part of helping them to realize what is right and wrong. We know in the earthy very well what it means to restrain a child. I mean, we restrain a child from getting close to a hot stove, right? We restrain him. We realize this child can end up in the hospital. Let's take into consideration, fathers, afresh and anew this morning. And this is not necessarily a corrective message. I'm just bringing to bear upon our hearts again, afresh and anew, our role as parenting and our role to take responsibility of this area of giving warning and rebuke and restraint when necessary. In the spiritual realm as well. Like I said, we know the physical very well. But is the spiritual on your heart? Are you watching over the spiritual atmosphere of your children? There are spiritual influences, what they watch, what they observe. We have all kinds of technology these days, as we all know. And what is feeding, what's being fed into their souls, into their lives, into their very spirit at times. Warning your children of impending danger is a responsibility of us as fathers. Admonishing them in the ways of the Lord is a responsibility. Not allowing them to just push the lines further and further without restraining them is a responsibility. Here it says the 12 tribes were inscribed in onyx stones and placed in ouches of gold. And I like that again, ouches of gold. I look at that as a father. As he has his children, the responsibility upon his shoulders, it's bathed. The responsibility is bathed in the Spirit of God. A father is full of the Spirit of the living God. That responsibility is bathed in the Spirit of God. It's not just working out of methods, not just working out of parenting methods and ways of parenting and trying to do better. But no, these ouches, these stones, these living stones in your home. Fathers, there's a necessity for those children of yours to be bathed. For you as a father to be bathed, and you're bathing them in the Spirit of God. They're enclosed with the Spirit of God around them, working in their hearts and lives. Because of your godly nature. And you're carrying that Spirit on your shoulders. I mean, you're carrying the Spirit of the living God upon your life. Are we full of the Spirit of God? This responsibility can... You know, I believe if we're full of the Spirit of God, this responsibility can be carried out with joy, with wisdom, and with faith. I believe that. It can be a joyful thing. It can be a wonderful thing to be a father. And I was never a father, so some of you visitors don't know this. We never had children, but we have a we have a girls ministry, ministry to hurting girls, if you will. And I'm just very fulfilled in my calling as kind of a father figure of the home. And you know, I know how much, I know what it takes to, how should I say, I know that, you know, I must day by day be filled with the Spirit of my God for wisdom, to continue in faith with situations, and to continue with joy. I don't want the ones in our home to look at me and say, you know, Mel, you're not. I mean, it looks like it's a drudgery to you to have me in your home. You know, I want the girls in our home, I should say, to behold the joy of the Lord. And so in our role as fathers, let's remember to have the responsibility enclosed in an ouch of gold. Those stones of memorial upon your shoulders, that they're enclosed in ouches of gold. Okay, let's go on. Verse 8. And he made the breastplate of cunning work, like the work of the ephod, of gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen. There you have the same thing, you know, the same kind of this breastplate that was hung on the ephod, as I understand it, also had these same colors, the gold, the blue, the purple, and the scarlet, and fine twined linen. It was 4 square. They made the breastplate double, a span was the length thereof, and a span the breadth thereof, being doubled. And they set in it 4 rows of stones. The first row was a sardius, a topaz, and a carbuncle. That was the first row. And the second row, an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a ligure, an agate, and an amphisius. And the fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They were enclosed in ouches of gold in their enclosings. And the stones were according to the names of the children of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of a signet, everyone with his name according to the 12 tribes. And they made upon the breastplate chains at the ends of wreathen work of pure gold. And they made 2 ouches of gold and 2 gold rings and put the 2 rings in the 2 ends of the breastplate. And they put the 2 wreathen chains of gold and the 2 rings on the ends of the breastplate. And the 2 ends of the 2 wreathen chains they fastened in the 2 ouches and put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod before it. And they made 2 rings of gold and put on the 2 ends of the breastplate upon the border of it, which was on the side of the ephod inward. And they made 2 other golden rings and put them on the 2 sides of the ephod underneath, toward the forepart of it, over against the other coupling thereof, above the curious girdle of the ephod. And they did bind the breastplate by his rings unto the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, that it might be above the curious girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate might not be loose from the ephod, as the Lord commanded Moses. So this is, here we have the breastplate. Here we have the breastplate that is being brought out in this portion. And the breastplate, as we know, is close to the heart of the priest. You know, when I consider the breastplate right here, and that, I believe, signified to the priest the care that was to be given to these 12 tribes. And in fact, here we see each tribe had its own unique stone. And I like that. In the shoulder pieces, it was 12 on one onyx stone and 12 on the other. But here we have a stone for each tribe. And I think that, to me, that brings out care, affection, and that each one of the tribes was to hold a special place in the heart of the priest. And so that's to me equalizes the analogy here is the, it's the nurture part of parenting. The nurture part of it. You know, these were, like I said, they were 12 separate stones. Very precious stones. It says here that, it doesn't mention the name precious, but they were gems and jewels. And, I mean, gems especially is brought out in the meaning of the different stones that were all in, that were on the breastplate there. The breastplate was also like the work of the ephod, like I said, the gold, the great, overwhelming, delightful kingdom of our God. And then the blue is the heavenly, the divine. In touch, the priest in touch with heaven. And the scarlet, the earthy, the earthy, the human side of things, the human side of the Son of Man, Son of God. The purple, the mixture of the two, and the fine twine linen, the righteousness of Christ. And I'd just like to bring out, I was encouraged recently with a scripture in Psalms. It says, righteousness shall go before Him. Talking about us. Righteousness shall go before us. And set up, or it might be taught, let me see the scripture here. Righteousness shall go before Him. I guess talking about Christ. Righteousness shall go before Him and shall set us in the way of His steps. So you as parents this morning, as you think of that fine twine linen, as you think of being robed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, as a parent, He will set you in the way of His steps. Isn't that encouraging? If we have our God on our side, if God be for us, who could be against us? If we have our God on our side, and He sets us right into the steps of parenting that He desires us to be in, one step at a time. We find our way in parenting, and we step into that step of, into that step of parenting, and He shows us the next step, His righteousness. The Bible says, there it says, righteousness goeth before Him and setteth us in the way of His steps. So just an encouragement to us as fathers, that we, when we think of that righteousness of Jesus Christ, there's guidance there. There's direction. We can find our way in stepping into that next step that He has in our parenting role. It was also a cunning work. Like it brings out cunning again. It was also a cunning work. I believe, again, a cunning work is where we are filled with wisdom and knowledge and understanding and all the attributes of God. And that word cunning means to interpenetrate, to weave. So as you think of weaving into the fabric of your children's, those who are under your care in your home, your sons and daughters, as you think of weaving into the fabric of your sons and daughters the ways of the Lord, the thought here is it takes a cunning work. But again, God, Christ has made unto us wisdom. Christ has made unto us wisdom. We can understand the ways of the Lord and even the deep things of God through His Spirit within us. So don't despair. It takes some of that delicate parenting to bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Okay, let's go on. The stones were too near to the heart, like I said, and this was to be the affection, nurture, and care side of priesthood. Each stone was to be precious, though they were different and varied in shape, color, and size. And I'd just like to go down these stones. I looked up in each one of the meaning of it, and I won't elaborate much here, but the sardius is, the meaning is redness, which the root of this is the word Adam. So your sons and daughters, they have within them the earthy, the human nature side of things. And yet they're gems. Amen? Yet they're gems. Some of them come out with a more selfish nature maybe than another. But they're gems. They need to be held dear to your heart as a sardius, as a priest held that stone, that gem, close to his heart. The sardius was a gem, even though it was, the root word is the earthy. As I understand, the sardius, it's kind of an earthy gem, and yet it needed to be held right close to the heart, in affection and care and nurture. And then we have the topaz, and that word just simply says a gem. It had no special meaning to it. And I thought about this: do we love our children? Do we love our young people, our sons and daughters, just for who they are? Just for who they are, no performance. Do we love them just for who they are? There was no meaning to that except just a gem. And then carbuncule, a very flashy gem, lightning, Maybe the one with the outgoing personality. You know, there's some like that. And, you know, they have their weak side too. And do we love them with care and affection? And emerald to glisten, shine. The one who has many different angles to his personality, but if you allow it to, each angle glistens and shines. You know, I believe that with nurture and care, each angle of that son or daughter can shine forth the divine nature of God, or shine forth in his own personality, in his own way. And the sapphire, a gem scratching other surfaces, such as a penknife to inscribe. I looked at it this way. One who has great care for others through care and affection, this one deeply inscribes into the lives of others comfort, care, or perhaps it can also be a child that is a bit more prophetic or a bit more frank, and through his gifting scratches the surfaces of the lives of others in a good way. You know, he might come across a little abrasive or a little bit strong in his nature. And but do we hold those in love and care and affection as their, you know, as their gifts are developing, and as their personality is developing? Leaguer, diamond, a precious stone to hammer, strike down, stamp, conquer, disband. One who has a soldier-like mentality, wants to conquer the world. And then it says leaguer, a gem, a root of uncertain meaning, and I thought about, you know, a quiet child, maybe a quiet son or daughter of yours. Doesn't make a lot of fuss, not out front and bold, but a gem nevertheless. Nevertheless, a gem. Agate, through the idea of subdivision into flashes or streamers, a child of varied and many ideas, always coming up with, I'm sorry, this is the meaning of the word agate, through the idea of subdivision into flashes or streamers. And I just put down some thoughts, a child of varied and many ideas, always coming up with this or that. And, you know, I thought of my wife in this. I thought of how she comes up with all these ideas. At the end of the day, somehow they harmoniously, even though there's many tangled strands to it, they come somehow they harmoniously come together. I don't know how that all happens, but but they come together. And I thought of children. You know, children come up with many ideas, and you know, we as we hold them as gems, their good ideas can be turned into something beautiful as we take interest in some of those things that they come are forthcoming with. And a beryl. No, I missed one. A gem. I'm sorry, and Theseus, it says a gem, to bind firmly, to dream and be a dreamer. And I thought about, you know, a young person or a son or daughter who daydreams or has visions, and says your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And I will pour out upon my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. So, you know, let's... Your children, I mean, how should I say, you know, the gifts of God or the gifts that God gives us are gifts of the Spirit. So I don't know that any young person necessarily, any son or daughter necessarily has gifts before they're born again. But however, their personalities, I've kind of observed as a pastor, I believe many times the personality lends to the gifts that God gives them. And so let's give them room in their youthfulness to express their personalities, express that which is in them, even if they are not yet, haven't yet received Christ, haven't yet been born of the Spirit of God. Beryl, a gem, just simply shining his own, again, that just brings out a gem, I guess. Yeah. And again, I just brought out here a gem, just simply shining his own character in his own way to the glory of God. And then an onyx, to blanch, to whiten, to take out the color. And, you know, children have a special ability to, in my life, to brighten my day. And I thought about that, you know, to brighten someone else's day. They have the ability to remove darkened colors, darkened skies of sadness and gloom. And so there's just many. I think there's one more stone I have here. Let me see. And then there's the jasper to polish. It means the jasper means to polish. And I have that down as little deeds of thoughtfulness and kindness, and know to smile, and act of love, similar to the other one. But anyway, you know, as we think of our children, each one of them, whether it's a quiet-natured child, whether it's one with son or daughter, whether it's an outgoing son or daughter, that we recognize that they're all gems and they need to be carried close to the heart in nurture, in care, in affection, and guiding their lives, bringing them up into the nurture, guiding them into maturity, to a mature young man, young woman, a mature Christian disciple, if you will, a mature young man and young woman who is being guided into spiritual maturity as well, and a life in Jesus Christ. So in describing this about our children, perhaps there's unpolished. You know, we look at our sons and daughters and we think, you know, they have a lot of unpolished ways about them. There's a lot of unpolished ways about themselves. But I just thought about it. You know, they're still a gem. Maybe some of them need some polishing, but they're gems. And they need to be held close to the heart. They're gems. And I think it's our responsibility as parents in bringing to bear upon them and taking up our role in bringing them up in the nurture, both the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We're able, their lives are able to be polished for the glory of God. And again, enclosed, these were enclosed in ouches of gold. Again, it takes a father who is full of the Spirit of God to give this kind of affection, love, and care to his sons and daughters. And you know, I found it interesting. It was not to be loosed from the ephod. It's not to be loosed. It needed, the priest had needed to continuously carry this breastplate near to his heart in his high priestly duties. Okay, let's close here shortly. And let's go on and read a few more verses here. And he made the robe of the ephod of woven work, all of blue. And there was a hole in the midst of the robe, as the hole of a habergeon, with a band round about the hole that it should not rend. And they made upon the hems of the robe pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet and twined linen. And they made bells of pure gold and put the bells between the pomegranates upon the hem of the robe, round about between the pomegranates. A bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate, round about the hem of the robe to minister as the Lord commanded Moses. So the priest was to wear these bells and, what else was it here? Bells and, not bells and whistles, but he made the robe of the, yeah, he wore a robe. There was a robe of the, he made the robe of the ephod of woven work, it says, yeah. And I just wanted to bring again to us, you know, fatherhood needs just to bring to bear upon our hearts once more that fatherhood is to be a delightful, joyful calling. A delightful, joyful calling. Yes, it's a response. There's a great responsibility. There's great sense of weight maybe upon our shoulders, but fatherhood is to be a delightful, joyful calling. The commandments of the Lord are not grievous. The garments, it says, were made for the priests, both for glory and for beauty. So in your calling as a father, as a priest, those garments that are upon you, the fine twined linen, the breastplate that is being worn, inscribed, your children's names being inscribed in that breastplate, and ephod on the shoulder piece, the onyx stones. I mean the your sons and daughters inscribed upon your shoulders as well. You know that all that is to be a delightful calling. It's to be a calling as a father, to look at your role as a father and realize this is a role of glory and of beauty. It's a high calling. It's a noble calling. It's a royal. Remember, Remember 1 Peter, it says, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. So fathers, your place is a place of royalty. Place of royalty. Great influence. When I think of royalty again, I think of men of great influence over nations. Here we are, as priests of our home, men that have the opportunity for tremendous influence. And we need to recognize that. We need to recognize that we are called to a royal calling. One of beauty, one of glory, and yea, one of influence. You know, I like the thought of sons and daughters being able to look at it up at any time into the face of their father. And God, you know, I realize that we all face moments, maybe, am I okay there? Moments of discouragement, and I'm not saying we're perfect, by no means. But, you know, to me it's such a blessing when I can think that those that are under my care can look up into my face and see the beauty of the Lord. You know, see His joy on my countenance and see His life-giving vitality within me and recognizing that this is a calling of glory and of beauty that my young people, my sons and daughters can look up at me and my life is attractive to them. Not just parenting being worked out in methods, methodically, you know, where we just kind of do our justice or do what is needed in a methodical way. God forbid. You know, may we carry our young people, our sons and daughters, upon our hearts with great affection, love, and care. And also the responsibility upon our shoulders. And as we, and looking at it as a noble calling, a royal calling. Something that is attractive to our young people, even though that we sometimes have to give a word of correction. I think of over in Africa, when I was over there, we had all these children coming around to our, clamoring for attention all the time. You know, they just clamored. You know, first when we got there, they wanted to wash clothes and haul water and, oh my, it was all kinds of stuff. And they would clamor and they wanted drinks of water. I mean, they would be at our compound just wanting a drink of water, you know, just. And I decided early on, you know what, I'm going to just cater to them. I'm going to cater to them for a time. And we did. We probably catered to them for a month and a half. And, well, you know, duties pressed, and there was a school right next door. So at recess, they would come over, and they wanted drinks again. And at first, I would just give to them. You know, and we won their little hearts. There came the day, you know, within probably a month after we were there, the day came when I was able to say, no, we don't have time. I mean, you're going to have to get water over at the school. And the day came, and their little hearts were won. They didn't despise me any longer for saying no. You know, they looked at our role, and they, you know, I don't think we lost a child, one child's heart, you know, but we began to take a stand on some of these, take measures. We began to take a stand on what they at times wanted and said no. And so I think of that. You know, if we have our children's hearts, I believe, by and large, we can say no. You know, we're after their hearts, right? And when you have that heart, it's much easier to say no, even maybe the other may need to be done at times. Okay, one more scripture here, 30 and 32. And they made the plate of the holy crown of pure gold and wrote upon it a writing like to the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And they tied unto it a lace of blue to fasten it on high upon the mitre as the Lord commanded Moses. Thus was all the work of the tabernacle, the tent of the congregation, finished. And the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did they. And this last portion here, upon the priest was a crown. And it's described, there's like a crown, and then what does it call it here? A writing on a signet, in the engravings of a signet, which I'm not quite sure what that is. But anyway, on that crown was written, holiness to the Lord. And I just thought about it again as I prepared for this message. You know, it just struck me again. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And that includes your children. That includes your sons and your daughters. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Is that your vision for your home and family? That your home, your young, your sons and your daughters would be part of this holy nation. Part of this holy nation. Holiness unto the Lord. It says, without holiness and peace, endeavoring to have peace with all men, in such words. But the one thing is there about holiness. It says in Hebrews, without holiness no man shall see the Lord. The vision upon every father's heart should be that his home is a place of holiness. This home is a place of holiness. And we know where there's things of this present evil world or things that don't produce holiness. Are you willing to take a look at it, Father? Are you willing to take a look at it and say, this doesn't smell of holiness? I want to guide my family into the path of holiness. Yes, it takes nurture, but it also takes admonition. Sometimes giving warnings, rebukes, and disciplinary measures at times are necessary. Is your home a sanctuary where God dwells? A place where the abiding presence of Christ is within. And again, this is a scripture. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So we as fathers must have a vision that upon my children and our homes that they have this inscription. Holiness unto the Lord. Holiness unto the Lord. That inscription, when people enter, when there's those even of the world that enter into your home, do they see that? Do they smell that? Do they observe that? This is a holy place. This is in essence holy ground. So I believe as we realize our callings to bring up our children in both the nurture and admonition of the Lord, our homes can be thus. That's a simple scripture. I mean, Paul doesn't say a lot. He just says, fathers, bring up your children both in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So in closing, let's take our place, fathers. Maybe some of you feel like the standard is too high. I'm only bringing out the Word of God. I mean, I hope. I trust I'm only bringing out the Word of God this morning to bear upon our hearts. This is the standard, the Word of God. Let's make that the standard and rather say, maybe I need to take a look at myself. Maybe for some it looks impossible with where you're at today. With God, all things are possible. And I'd just like to encourage you, begin with prayer. If you're at a place in your home where you feel like things are not in order in our home, and begin with prayer. And I believe God will lead you from there. I really do. I think God will take you from there as you begin with prayer just before the Lord. If you're a father who resists authority, let me just say this. If you're a father who resists authority, maybe you resist your boss, or maybe you have conflict with civil authorities, boss, or church, whatever. If you're a father who resists authority in different realms of life, whether civil or church or occupational, you're going to have a much more difficulty having your children respect your authority. If you want to be a man of admonition to where your word hits the mark, then be a man under authority. And I like the scripture there where Jesus said to the Roman centurion, he said, I've not found so great faith in Israel. And I think there's something linked with great faith and being under authority. I believe that. Because the Roman centurion said, I'm a man under authority. At the end of the day, he never seen such great faith, no, not in all of Israel, as he saw in that Roman centurion. So let us rise up to our calling as priests of our home. God has called us to be kings and priests. And brethren, We are, our role and calling, our place is one of royalty, a royal priesthood. Surely His grace will be sufficient to carry out the call. You know, look at Paul, as we shared this morning. You know, Brother Jim mentioned that Paul, at the time he was sharing with Timothy what he did in the second, in the epistle there, that he was very close to death. Yeah, he was at death's door. He was in a dungeon down in. And yet, Paul says in that very chapter, whereunto I am ordained an apostle, a preacher of the Gentiles, and so forth. He kept the calling in sight, no matter what difficulty he faced, even down in the dungeon, where he knew he was about ready to have his head cut off at the end thereof. So I'd like to say with Brother Dale last Sunday, grace and peace be multiplied to you fathers, and I'd like to add grace, mercy, and peace. As you saw this morning, I needed the mercy of the Lord. I need His mercies upon my life as a pastor here. And I trust God will extend that to you. Grace, mercy, and peace. If you find in your role as a father this morning that you have great need, mercy be unto you. Mercy be unto you. Grace, mercy, and peace. And I trust that each one of us can experience the delightful calling of fatherhood, no matter where we find ourselves at this morning. So God bless.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY, or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.